You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Well, I'm a sucker for nostalgia. I like feeling the old feels, you know, from back in the day. And I've got a lot more nostalgia behind me, probably, than I have in front of me at this point in my life. But I like it so much that we're actually the part, you know, what do I want to do for Father's Day? We are going to go see The Flash this afternoon. Why? Not because I'm really interested in what they're doing with the DC movies, because they've kind of fallen apart, but solely because Michael Keaton is going to be playing Batman in this Flash. It's a throwback to 1989, and I made my kids endure that movie on Friday night so that they would have context, because context is important. But I'm a sucker for nostalgia, and when I was a little kid, elementary school kid, there was a TV show, cartoon called G.I. Joe, and I loved playing with the G.I. Joe toys. Now, I had some of the smaller sets. My friend Matt, like, he had all the cool stuff. But there was one that I really liked, and this was the television commercial for that.
Cats and cobras really tough, you know. And cobras up to something that G.I. Joe.
Cobra blew up the bridge. Bridge layer to the rescue.
Introducing the new Joe's Barbecue and Shipwreck.
We're going to stop Cobra this time.
G.I. Joe!
After him!
Go! Go! G.I. Joe Bridge Layer comes with driver, or Striker comes with driver. Other figures and equipment sold separately from Hasbro.
I really wanted the Bridge Layer. It was really cool. Like, and you know, it came with, I think the driver of that, they all had, like, these totally military names, right? But the driver of that was Toll Booth. Was the guy that drove Bridge Layer, and you know, that can give you, if you're from my generation and you watch G.I. Joe, that can give you a little context, because Barbecue was a new character and Shipwreck was a new character. So this is early on in the Yo-Jo G.I. Joe days. But this wasn't just fantasy. This was actually based on technology that was developed for World War II. World War II, that's hard to say fast. And so here's actually a video, what like often would you see in a movie theater before a movie back in the 40s and 30s, and that's how people got their news. And so this was a little news blurb in a movie theater in that time.
One more victory weapon is now off the secret list, the bridge-laying tank, which enabled the armored columns to move across Europe unhindered by the many obstacles which barred their way. The first type of bridge, known as the Ark, is mounted on a Churchill tank and can be laid down or taken up in a matter of minutes. The bridge-laying crew don't have to leave the shelter of their tank, so the whole operation can be carried out under fire. The second type is the Scissors Bridge, carried on a Valentine tank. Like the Ark, it's hydraulically operated and has been used with outstanding success from Italy to beyond the Rhine. Congratulations to the British inventors and workmen who helped to make possible this very real stepping stone to victory.
So that was 1940s. And then here is it was a 4-minute video from a military website with a modern M60 tank, which is actually called an M60 AVLB, which is short for Armored Vehicle Launched Bridge. And so I took this 4-minute video and I sped it up to give it to you in 30 seconds of watching a modern military bridge launch. There's no sound because it was really fast and high-pitched. It was weird. Maybe I should have added some sound, because it's kind of weird. There you go. So he laid the bridge. crossed it and then picked it up. But so that's like actually part of military tech these days. And of course, there's so many more improvements and advancements. But I always wanted that one because it was such a cool toy. Like, come on, who wouldn't want something to bridge a gap? And I don't know if like I'm gonna sound old. It's Father's Day, so you're gonna get off my back about it. But like commercials back then, like kids always had the coolest backyards. You know, nowadays, I don't even know if they have, like, backyards, but I always, like, actually, that's not true. I didn't always want a backyard like that, because at one point in my life, my friend and I got some shovels and made our backyard like that. My parents weren't too happy about that, because we had, like, we made this, we dug up the grass, made this big pile, and had the curves in the mountains, and I think we would pour water down through it. I got the hose out, I think, yeah, so we had, like, a stream, and because I needed that for G.I. Joe playing, or for my Rough Rider trucks. You know, so you could put them on and let them run on battery power for a good 2 minutes so you needed to replace the batteries. But anyway, this whole idea of building a bridge, of crossing a chasm, that is actually the point that we're talking about today. And we're talking about something that's different. Frankly, I've never heard this taught before from the perspective that that we're going to be sharing it this morning. And we're talking about childing. You know, what does it mean to be a child? And the point that I want us to get, and we'll come back to this in a bit, is that we can support children by bridging their relationship to parents. And what we're going to be talking about this morning isn't just for all of you in the room that are sitting next to your mom and dad. Because, you know, this would be great to kind of call you all out, and we're going to call you out. But it's also for everyone else in the room that is a child, meaning that has a parent. And unlike anything we have done thus far in this series, this is the only week that applies to all of us. Because of all of us are a child of a parent in some way, shape, or form. And so we're not just going to be talking to the, you know, the in the house, under 18, non-adult children, but to all of us as children of our parents. And I don't even have to like say 99%. Like, if you are listening or watching or in this room, you have a parent. Like, I don't have to even to do the math on that one, which is great because I'd be mathing and I don't like doing that. But all of us are children. And so I want to talk, as we've done all series long, I want to look at the first part is, what does it look like for us as children, whether you're an adult child, whether you're a younger child, a teenage child, or a child, or an infant child, you know, because they need to obey too. But then the second half I want to look at is, what can we do to bridge that relationship, to bridge that gap? And our projector is having some issues this morning. I don't know if you noticed some of the words are cut off. So hopefully everything will show up the way we want it to. It's always something that's having an issue, and that's what it chose to have an issue today. So why don't we can hit the house lights here, and we're going to be looking at a bunch of passages. You can either follow along on your YouVersion Bible app or with your paper Bible, or just watch it on the screen. But the first thing I want to talk about is, if you're a child, and you are, the thing that we need to do as children, that you need to do as a child, is honor your parents. And so that means that if you are, you know, in third grade, you need to honor your parents. And if you're in third grade, you're probably upstairs in ignition, which they're learning about honoring their parents. But if you're a teenager, if you're a student, you need to honor your parents. And if you're in your 20s and living at home, you need to honor your parents. And if you're in your 20s and not living at home, you need to honor your parents. And if you're in your 30s and married, and you need to honor your parents. And if you're in your 40s and a parent, you still need to honor your parents. And if you're in your 70s, you need to honor your parents. And this idea of honoring our parents is not limited to this idea, to this 18, you know, American mindset of what makes an adult, what makes an adult. And just like we talked about last week, you don't stop parenting when they turn 18. As a parent, you should be parenting your children for the rest of their lives. And if you weren't here last week, you can go back and listen to that. And if you're watching online, the live stream cut out for about 10 minutes. We were able to repair that, so you can go back to our page for What's the series called? Familying, and watch the live stream archive. We were able to fix that one so you can watch the whole thing. But anyway, so this applies to everyone because we're all children. And so this idea of honoring parents, I want to break that down into some pieces. The first piece that I want to talk about actually has nothing to do with your parents. It has everything to do with you. And the first thing that we need to do when it comes to honoring our parents, honoring your parents, is to reflect on you. Before we get into anything else we're going to talk about, because when we get into these other things that we're going to talk about, you're going to have emotional responses because of things that happened or didn't happen. The joke in our house is that I never went to my boys' baseball games. They throw that at me all the time. Dad, you never went to my games. They never played baseball, so but it's kind of the classic like joke. Like, Dad, you didn't come to our game. And so there's going to be emotions tied to things like that. Maybe your parent, you didn't have your parent growing up, or you lost your parent, or something like that. So there's going to be things tied to that. Or there might be something on the other end of some of these emotions, which has to do with justice and fairness. And you're going to say, you know what? My parents don't deserve honor. My dad doesn't deserve that because he cut out when I was 10. You know, and so we have these things. My mother was an alcoholic and she abused me, so she does not deserve my honor. And so before we get into any of those feelings or injustices, we need to stop and say, look at us, reflect on you and in your heart. And 1 Timothy 4:12 is a wonderful passage. When I was a youth pastor, we had T-shirts with that on it. One of my former students. We had T-shirts that said, not just young, with 1 Timothy 4:12 on them. And 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul is speaking to Timothy, who is a young pastor. And he's young in those standards, so he's probably, you know, in his 20s. Maybe younger than that, maybe older than that. But Paul was kind of mentoring him and said in this letter, he wrote two letters to Timothy, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. In his letters to Timothy, he said in verse 12 of chapter 4, he says, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. So he starts and says, Timothy, it doesn't matter how old you are. And if you are 13, if you are 15, if you are 40, I can also say this with 100% certainty without having to do the math. You are younger than your parents. I know that seems shocking, but you are, in fact, younger than your parents. So they are older than you, and so there's a sense where you are younger than them. So whether you're young in the traditional, you know, child, teenager age, or whether you're young in the sense that you have parents that are older than you, Paul tells Timothy, and the instruction to us applies, is don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. Just because you're young doesn't mean you're irrelevant. Just because you're young doesn't mean you've got nothing to offer. And you know, if we applied that principle here at MC3 and said, okay, once you're an adult, then you can serve, then you're old enough to serve in ministry, like, we would literally collapse. Right now, there would be absolutely nothing coming from back there, because Jay, you're an adult now, aren't you? Yeah, just. He just graduated from high school, so he's all, you know, moving on into that level. But, like, all around this building, we've got students that are serving. We've got people that are young serving. So anyway, the point is, don't let anyone look down on you're young. And if you're in your 40s, don't let your parents say, well, you're just young and you're stupid and all that. But what does he say? It's not just a matter of, don't talk about me like that. Shut up your face. You don't know. Okay, I'm not young. Just get off my back. But he says, but set an example. And so the way you deal with this idea of people looking down on you because you're young is by setting an example, not getting up in their face, not being obnoxious, not being rude, not cutting off your dad, you know, none of that. It's by setting an example. And he says, for the believers. So setting an example of Christ-like love in speech, so in what you say. He says, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for others by what you say. That you're honoring Jesus in what you say. And so when you're talking to a parent and when we're trying to honor our parents, no matter our age, we need to be saying things that are an example, a Christ-like example in what we say to them. And then he says, in conduct. So in the things that we do for our parents, whether you're young or old. And, as Kendra was praying, like, if this is the only day you do anything for your dad, you're probably not honoring your parents. And I'm just telling you, you know, my parents might be listening right now. Like, this isn't easy. Like, there's all sorts of reasons and issues. Distance is one factor a lot of times. But he says, set an example in what you say, in what you do, in love. So love, as we've talked about, is this word agape, and it means unconditional. It doesn't mean that because they did this, then therefore they deserve love, or maybe they didn't do something. This word doesn't mean it's based on condition. It means you love them. In your faith, so pointing them to Jesus, set an example by pointing people to Jesus and by your faith in him. And then impurity, by saying I am, that's impurity, not impurity. Impurity is the opposite of impurity. But set an example by your purity, by the fact that you are doing things in an upright and honoring way. And so when we talk about this passage, and just stay there for a second, before we get into all the other things and all the other buts and the ifs and the feelings and the emotions and the other things that are tied to it, we need to look at ourselves and say, okay, wait a second. It doesn't matter. Those things don't matter, because if I am setting an example because of my age for my parents in what I say and what I do and how I unconditionally love them, in my faith in Christ and in my purity and doing things in an upright way, unfortunately, all those excuses don't count. Because, you know, if we look at Christ and what he has done for us, like, he didn't do anything because we deserved it. He didn't honor people that, well, okay, since you were good enough, it was okay. He didn't say, okay, you don't count. I mean, if you look at his ministry, if you look at the Gospels, like, Jesus spent time with the people that most people didn't deserve to be loved or honored or cared for. And so before we go into any of the other things, we need to look at ourselves and say, okay, am I being an example? Am I being an example in my own home to my parents in the way I honor them? Am I being an example to my older parents? And again, I realize that, you know, there's so many layers here of maybe you've never met your parents. Maybe your parents have passed away. Like, there's a lot of levels of this, and I get that. But in the moment we are in right now, are we able to say, you know what, I want the way I interact with my family, my parents, to be something that is an example for people to follow? And an example means people do it. People follow it. And that means you're doing something that you want other people to follow. So as a child, if you have siblings, your example are your brothers and sisters. Are they looking at you and saying, you know what, they're doing a great job honoring mom or dad. I want to follow what they're doing. So that's the first part, is to reflect on you. Before we get into the rest of this, where is your heart? And are you willing to do what it takes to be an example? And I'll just say, it's a little spoiler for later, but throughout the passages we're looking at today, none of them say because they deserve it. None of them say because they're perfect. None of them say because, you know, they're wonderful people. Like, nothing. If everything that we're looking at this morning has to comes back to because of what Christ has done for us, because we want to honor Jesus, because we want to please God. And so you're going to see that theme, and we'll come back to that at the end. But let's start with it here, saying, okay, what does it look like for me to honor God when I'm honoring my parents? So that's the first step. The second thing, then, is to respect their role. Your parents are your parents not by accident. They are on purpose, a plan of God, that they are your parents. And, you know, reverse-wise, you aren't an accident to them. No matter what has been said or has been communicated, it is on purpose that you have been born to your parents, and that your parents, if you are parents, the kids that you have are on purpose. Psalm 139 talks about how God knit us together in our mother's womb, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are designed on purpose. And so because of that, the role that they have as your parent is placed by God. They are in that role because he has placed them there. And Ephesians chapter 6, which we're going to hang out a little bit on, is Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. And we looked at Ephesians 6 last week, and we looked at verse 4, where we talked about children. No, we talked about fathers, don't embitter your children, but train them up in the instruction of the Lord. Well, here he's talking to children, and we looked at Ephesians 5 a couple weeks ago, where he was talking to married people. And so this whole section here of 5 and 6, he kind of goes through all these different relationships we have. But right here he says, children, obey your parents. Children, obey your parents. And this word obey, it has the connotation, just so you're clear, it doesn't mean you are a robot. It doesn't mean you do everything that they say, especially if they're instructing you to do something that is obviously contrary to the Bible, not contrary to what you want to do in the moment, so you make it contrary to the Bible. You know what I'm talking about there? The excuses were like, I probably can find a Bible verse that I can fudge to make it sound like I don't need to really obey them. But this word obey, it doesn't mean to follow them like a robot, but it means to listen, to absorb, to say, what is it that I can take from this? What is it? We're going to come to that in a second some more, a little more in depth on that. But this idea of obeying your parents is, I'm going to listen. I'm not just going to do my own thing. I'm going to listen to my parents. And if you're a younger person in the home, that means you do what you're told. If you're told to take out the trash, you do it. Andy Stanley had this great principle, and we've tried to apply it on some level in our home. And actually, he and his wife just wrote a book called Parenting that you could check out, Andy and Sandra Stanley. But one of the things he always told his kids is that when you're given an instruction from your parents, and now I guess I am talking to the younger people here. You can do that with older people too, but it's, yes, sir, daddy, why? Meaning, and he's from the South, so that's where the yes, sir comes from. Meaning, I'm going to do what you told me, but then I'm just going to ask, I'm going to do it, and then I'm going to say, why is it that you want me to do this? And unfortunately, a lot of times this has been flipped around in our culture. It's why? Give me a good reason, Mom, why I should obey you. And if the reason is good enough, then I'll do it. And that is not obeying. And again, as your kids get older, like, you're not going to reason. You're probably not going to reason with your little one about, you know, your infant on why they should, you know, stop crying or need to change their diaper or something like that. But as they get older, you know, part of what we talked about last week is you're taking the training wheels off. You get to a spot where you can begin, yeah, discuss. You want them to understand why. Like, why do we go to church? Because I forced you to. That's why. No, there's so much more to what this is about. And there's so many reasons. Why do you take the trash out? Well, I've got a Shel Silverstein story to tell you about Sarah Sylvia Cynthia Stout. And if you don't know who Shel Silverstein is, that story, it's a great story. Because Sarah Sylvia Cynthia Stout simply wouldn't take the garbage out. And it's this wonderful little kid's poem about how the house filled with all the trash. And so you want to take the garbage out because you don't want the house to fill with trash. So there's practical reasons why you do things. And so obey your parents. But then he says, because you belong to the Lord, not because they're good parents, not because they're perfect, not even because you like what they have to say, but because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. There's that theme again. It's not because they deserve it. It's because it's the right thing to do. And then he goes on and says, honor your father and mother. And now we're actually getting into that word. That word honor, this is honor your father and mother. This comes from Deuteronomy chapter 5. And we looked at Deuteronomy chapter 6 a few weeks ago, actually last week as well, but the beginning of this series. Because Deuteronomy was when, when the Israelites were getting ready to finally go into the land, the first generation had died off for their disobedience. So it was all their kids. And Deuteronomos, the second law, Moses was repeating the law to the next generation because their parents weren't around when the Ten Commandments, when the law was given to their parents right after the Exodus, right at Mount Sinai, after they crossed the Red Sea. So he's repeating it again. And so he repeats this, honor your father and mother, as one of the Ten Commandments. It's also in Exodus chapter 20. But what's an interesting thing, he goes on and says, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have long life on the earth. And what's interesting here, just as a side note, is that Paul tweaked this a little bit because now he's talking to the church, not to the Israelites. And so the original thing said, you'll have long life in the land God has promised you. Well, God hasn't promised us land because Paul is making a transition from the old covenant to the new covenant. And if you don't know what that's about, you can listen to Crop 2, and that is on the slide there that talks about the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. But he's saying this idea of honor your father and mother, and it's based on the Hebrew word, because that's what they spoke in the Old Testament, and the Hebrew word is chabed. Chabed, which is to honor. And the word literally means heavy. So we need to be careful here. He's not saying call your mom fat. Okay? Not saying call your mom or dad fat or heavy. But the word heavy means weight. It means something that has value, that has a significance, and something that's impressive or that it's well known. Like that. Wow, there's some. And you've probably heard that expression used. Wow, there was really some weight to what they had to say. Well, what they had to say were just words. There probably wasn't weight. Maybe there's a scientific value for the weight of a word coming out of your mouth. I don't know. But the idea is that it matters. And so this phrase, to honor your father and mother, means give them some recognition. Place some weight on who they are. Give them, recognize that they are impressive. And so we should honor them and give them that honor. And he says this little thing, like, and if you honor your parents, you know, statistically, percentage-wise, things are going to be better for you. Dishonoring your parents, statistically, percentage-wise, is not going to be a great thing. And you know, you look at it on a very practical level. Your mom says, don't touch the hot stove. Okay, you can honor them and obey, honor mom and obey, or dishonor mom and disobey, and you're going to be dealing with the consequences. Now, okay, that didn't go so well. And so that's the idea here, that there are just some very practical reasons, and we're going to get into this in a little bit more, very practical reasons why we can actually honor and obey our parents. And it doesn't come back from whether they deserve it. It doesn't come back from whether they did a great thing. We were just talking last night about, we remodeled our kitchen a couple of years ago, and Cara brought up a couple, last week I guess, about she still remembers her 16th birthday. And her 16th birthday, you know, sweet 16, special day, and how she had all of her friends come over for this birthday party in her gutted kitchen that had a sink in like an old 2x4 frame. We didn't have lights because there was nowhere to plug a light in, so it was Christmas lights that kind of lit the wall. The walls were nasty. There was insulation. And I said, you know, someday she's going to be sitting on the couch with her therapist, and she's going to bring up that 16th birthday party and remember that that was that time, the only time, that her parents failed. So we're all imperfect. And so he doesn't say because they're good things, because they're perfect people. He says because it's the right thing to do. And then over in Colossians, which Colossians chapter 3 has a lot of the repeats that you see in Ephesians 5 and 6, to the church in Colossae, Paul says, children, always obey your parents. Same word. For this pleases the Lord. And we've got this word Lord a lot of times. We actually did a series called The Name where we talked about the different names of God, and that was one of the ones. But he says again, you're obeying your parents because you're honoring Jesus, because you're honoring God, you're pleasing God. And so when it comes to obedience, again, it's not just they told me to do this thing. Yeah, go cheat on your test. Maybe at that point you should say no, because cheating on your test is not honoring the Lord. That's not honoring Christ. But obeying them is a way that you can please God. Why? Because God put them there. And for you to say, no, I'm not going to follow them, you're basically saying, God, you messed up. And God says, no, you're not going to say that. You're going to honor them. Not because they're perfect, not because they deserve it, but because you want to honor me. And I placed this relationship that way. So, first thing is reflect on you. The second thing is respect their role. Now we're going to get a little more unique pieces of this. And that is respond to truth. Respond to truth. And when you think about this, and I know, I mean, I'm wearing a shirt about mowing the lawn. I know I'm 46 years old. I'm dad in and out. Like, I get it. And so as soon as I say this, especially if you're a dad with me, you'll be like, yeah, I'm down with that. And if you said you're down with that, you're also my age too, because that's what people said back in the 90s. But what we're talking about here is that there actually usually is some truth to what your parents say. Believe it or not, your parents do know some things that you don't. Believe it or not, they have lived life longer. And I know that scientifically. I don't have to do the math. They have lived more life than you have. And so there are things that we can listen to and learn from, whether we're young or old. And so before we just dismiss them and be like, you're out of touch, dad, or you're really old, dad, what is, maybe there's something there that we can take away. In Proverbs 1:8, the writer of Proverbs here says, my child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction, because what you learn from them will crown you with grace and will be a chain of honor around your neck. The writer of Proverbs is saying, look, there's some things when your parents correct you, when they give you some instruction, don't ignore it. Because if you listen to what they say, and maybe you weigh it, maybe you kind of evaluate it and say, yeah, there's maybe something here that I can learn. Even from the simplest things, there's probably something that you can learn from that before we just dismiss them right away. And this is also in Proverbs in chapter 6, and we did a series called Wise Up last summer where we looked at a bunch of Proverbs, and you can find that on our website as well. But the writer says, my son, obey your father's commands and don't neglect your mother's instruction. Same deal. Keep their words always in your heart. Tie them around your neck. And kind of like what we were talking about last week with Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. There we go. And we are supposed to impress them on our children and tie them around our wrists and on our heads and write them on our gates. This is a similar kind of concept. Keep them with you all the time. Why? Because when you walk, their counsel is going to lead you. You're going to be walking through life and you're going to be like, wait a second. My mom knew what she was talking about. I'm in that situation now. Wow, okay, this is great. When you sleep, they will protect you. I mean, I'm not sure exactly how that would work. It's kind of, you know, suddenly have a dream. I don't know. Maybe you sleep well because you know you've learned so much from your parents. When you wake up, they will advise you. But the point is that it will be with you all the time. And for their command is a light lamp and their instruction is a light. Their corrective discipline is the way to life. And so we talked about that from the parent side last week. But from the child side, like, there is something to be gained. And so before you just dismiss everything, and this is probably a practical principle for life in general, but say, what is there something that I can take away from this? Is there something that I need to learn? Maybe it's not something in the present moment, but something you just pack away. Because there are things that I know that I've said to my kids that for them, they're like, this makes zero sense. It doesn't make any sense. But then, as they get older, they've looked back and go, oh, I get it. I get why we did that now. That makes sense now. There are things that you do, of course, in the process of child rearing. Again, you're not going to have a debate with your, you shouldn't be having a debate with your two-year-old about whether they should obey or do those things. But as they get older, you're going to have conversations. And so there's things that you do differently as you move on. And so maybe there's things that your parents instruct you that you're just putting in your pocket for later. Maybe it's not in the moment, but maybe there's something you can take away from that. And so if you're a child and honoring your parents, you're not just going to dismiss them. Sorry, you don't know what you're talking about. You're not just going to blow them off. You're going to say, okay, is there truth here that I can respond to? Is there something that I can take? Thomas Aquinas was a philosopher, church guy, and he said that all truth is God's truth, meaning anything that's true is from God. And so even if your parents aren't saying the best things, even if they're not the best parents, there might be some things that they are saying that are true. And don't, as they say, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, which, because I'm a dad, I'm going to tell you a story about where that came from. Once upon a time, the people would get dressed up for church on Sunday. There was a farming agrarian society. This is like the old, you know, United States early 200 some years ago, 150 years ago. And so to meet at the town hall for church, which is a whole other story, people would say, okay, it's Sunday. Sunday's coming. So Saturday night, they would take their weekly bath. So obviously there's a lot of things that change. People don't necessarily dress specifically for church. And hopefully people take more than one bath a week. But they would take their weekly bath, and it kind of went through the ages of the family. So dad got the bath first in the cleanest water. And then mom got the bath next in the same water. You don't want to waste water. And then it went down from oldest to youngest. And you had to be careful because, you know, if you had five or six kids and there's a baby in the bath water there, you might not see it because the water is so dirty. And so the expression became, don't throw out the baby with the bath water. Just because you're getting rid of the bath water, make sure there's still a baby in there. And if you lost your baby under the water, there's other issues there too. I'm not condoning this as an action for parenting. I'm just saying that's where the term came from. But the idea is, sometimes we're like, you know what, I'm because of what you've done to me, or because of your age, or because of whatever, because of how I'm feeling right now, because I'm angry and you wouldn't let me do what I wanted, I'm going to ignore what you have to say. And I just want to caution you, before you just blow everything off, maybe there is some truth there. Maybe there's a reason they say don't hang out with those people. Maybe there's a reason they say, you know what, hold off until later to start dating. Maybe there's a reason they say don't spend time on, you know, in your video games all the time. Maybe there's a reason for these things. And so take a moment to say, okay, is there truth that I can respond to? Maybe as your older parents, we talked about this last week, that we need to be speaking the truth to one another. Maybe your parent who is, you know, doesn't know how it's done these days, maybe they have something to share, and you're like, yeah, you know what? But back when you were doing it, you just threw a kid in the back seat of the, you know, the station wagon, and they just rolled around all they wanted. Now we have car seats and 5-point restraints and the latch system, which was brand new when we started. Now I'm sure it's like way more complicated now too. There's probably like airbags that go around them, and a little button you push that brings a shield around. But you know, so yeah, am I out of touch with all the new technology and babying? Yeah, but do I have something to offer when it comes to raising kids? I probably do. And the same thing is true with your parents. So before you throw it all away, let's say, is there a truth here that I can respond to? Is there something that I can say, you know what, maybe there's a reason that they want that. So yes, yes, sir, Dad. Yes, ma'am, Mom. Why? Maybe they give you a reason. And to encourage you in what that looks like. So reflect on you, respect their role, God placed in there, respond to the truth that's there, and then finally repay their work. And this is actually in the Bible, guys, especially if you're getting older. You know, I'm starting to really appreciate this passage. Like, this is for real in the Bible. I didn't know this was in the Bible, honestly, I'm sure I knew it was there. I'm sure I read it, but never really sank in, and maybe it's because of my age. But Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5, he was actually just talking, we talked about this a few weeks ago, and in verse 3, he was talking about widows. And if there's no one to care for a widow, you need to come alongside of them. When we talk about singles, like, there are people that don't have anyone. And what can we do to come alongside of them and care for them and support the singles around us? But in verse 4, he says, but if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn, first of all, to put their religion into practice. Like, first, Paul's like, they should learn, like, if they're going to call themselves followers of Jesus, then it's time to start following Jesus. Like, I can see a little something going on like that with Paul to Timothy. They should put their religion into practice by caring for their own family. And so, repaying their parents and grandparents. Why? For this is pleasing to God. Again, that same theme there. But he says, you know what? One of the things that we can do in honoring our parents is recognizing that they have done things for us. We can honor them. And as they get older, we can care for them. And we should care for them. If nothing more than to repay them for what they've done for us. And I can say this with 100% fact. If you are listening, if you're in this room, if you're watching online and can hear these words right now, you are in fact alive. So if nothing else of value did your parents give you, they kept you alive. And so there's even, you know, we talk about responding to the truth. There's even something there. Say, you know what? You know, and not that I would bring it all up. You know, things didn't go great. Dad, I didn't really like the way things were, Mom. I wish you had been around more. I wish you hadn't, you know, gone off and gotten drunk or whatever. But thank you for keeping me alive. And so there is a way that we can repay their work by honoring them. By saying, you know what, even though things aren't great, I want to honor you and appreciate at the very least the fact that you kept me alive. And if you're a parent, especially if you're a parent of a young child or have been a parent of a young child, there's some challenge in keeping them alive. They keep crying and crying and crying. Just, oh, I want to sleep. And then when you're awake, they're like, oh, I'm going to sleep now. You know, so, but the idea is to repay them. And of course, Paul says, why? For this is pleasing to God, not because they deserve it. But because they have been placed there in that relationship as your parent by him. And let's honor them. Let's give them the weight that they deserve. Let's give them the chaved, the heaviness and the respect of their position. And then repay their work for what they've done. So if you're a child, which you are, reflect on you first. Look at your own heart. Are you willing to do what it takes to honor Jesus and be an example to others? Because the rest of this, if you're not willing to do that, then you can ignore the rest of it. But before we go into those other things and make legitimate excuses and concerns, we need to say, how can I be an example? And I'm going to honor Jesus, even if they might not deserve it. Because we're not perfect parents. There are so many mistakes that I've made. And again, I think I said that last week. Like, I'm sure if you just track the last 18 hours of my life, I'm sure I've made 3 or 4mistakes as a parent. Just because I'm not perfect. I'm doing my best. And we're all doing our best. And so how do we honor them? We reflect on ourselves. Then we respect their role, that God has placed them there. We respond to the truth and say, maybe there's something here that I can take away from this. And I wouldn't say that to them. Like, I'm going to ignore you, but maybe I'll take something away. Like, no, just sit back. Okay, thank you. What can I learn from this? And then repay their work and honor them for what they have done, again, if nothing else, to keep you alive. But I would suspect that on some level your parents have done more than that. And I get it. I mean, some of you might not have ever known a parent. You know, it might have been adopted. And so then in that case, you have adopted parents that you can honor and respect you for getting you to where you are. So that's for us as children, for all of us to take away. But what we want to talk about now, as we've been doing all series long, is how can we support today children? How can we support children? We can support children by bridging their relationship to their parents. So if you think about the bridge layer, you've got two sides. You've got a child and a parent. You've got a parent and a child. And you can be like Tollbooth, driving the G.I. Joe little bridge layer to lay the bridge across to connect the two sides. And that's something that we should be doing. So if you're part of MC3, if you're MC3, and this applies to all of you listening as well, then we need to bridge to parents. We want to work on creating that bridge. Because as we're going to see in a moment, it's easy to accidentally tear down that bridge. But we want to do what we can to build that bridge to parents. So what does that look like? The first thing that we can do is enter hurting families. It's easy to sit back and be like, whoa, that's not my problem. Or, wow, I'm glad that's not my family. But if we're followers of Jesus, we need to get messy. And again, I think I said this last week too, when it comes to parenting, there's like this weird unspoken rule, like, oh, I'm not going to tell anybody else how to parent. And I think we should. We need to be in each other's lives. That's what the church is. And as Paul says here in Galatians 6:2, the church in Galatia, he says, carry each other's burdens. Carry each other's burdens. Be there for the people around you. And you know, maybe there's a strained relationship. Maybe it's between their teenager and their dad. Maybe it's between, you know, they're grown and it's between them and their mom, who's in their 70s or 80s or whatever. What does it look like to carry that burden? Because God wants all relationships to be restored. Like, that's what Jesus did, to restore us and our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And so Paul says, carry each other's burdens. And he doesn't say this just because. He says, in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Carry each other's burdens so that you can please Christ, so you can honor and fulfill what it is that Christ has built in what the church is has created in this church, in the church. And so we need to be willing to enter the hurting families. And again, that's what this whole series has been about. How can we enter in? How can we come alongside and support parents? How can we support singles? How can we support dating couples? How can we support parents? And how can we support children? All of it comes back to, we're going to carry each other's burdens, because that's what the church is. And by doing this, that's why Christ came, so that we can care for one another. So we need to be willing to enter it. That's the first step. The second thing, as you're in this relationship, if you're trying to talk to an estranged or just frustrated, you know, sometimes with younger people, with students, I was a youth pastor for a decade. I mean, there's no question that one day, it's like, oh, my parents, we did this thing. It was so cool. I love my mom and dad. And the next day, I hate them. I want them to move away, and I never want to talk to them again. And then the third day, they're like, oh, it's amazing. Like, and that's, you know, that's part of that, you know, psychology, physiology, hormones, all that. Part of that's just emotions. And, you know, there's a brain chemical thing that's going on there. And I can explain all that to you, but I actually do know that part. It doesn't involve math, so I can explain it. But this idea of when you're relating with them is that what you need to do in this conversation is emphasize pleasing Jesus. It's not about what they deserve. It's not about whether that was a right decision or a wrong decision, whether you think you should be making your bed or not. What's the point anyway? Because you're just going to get in it tonight and mess it all up. Like, that's not the issue. The point is, emphasize, you know, this isn't about whether they deserve it. This isn't about what they did to you when you were young. This wasn't about that sweet 16 birthday party in the gutted kitchen. This is about, how can you honor Jesus right now? How can you please Jesus in this situation? And again, reflecting back at all these passages we've looked at, but Colossians 3:20, Paul says, children, always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. And so in those conversations, you're coming alongside, you want to bridge that gap, and you're saying, you know what, I'm here for you, and I know it sucks. And I know, man, I can't imagine what it's like to have grown up in that situation. I can't imagine what it's like to have that happen to you now when everything seemed to be good when you were a kid. But it's not really about that. How can I come alongside of you and help you please Jesus? What does it look like to please Jesus for pleasing the Lord? And in Galatians chapter 1, Paul talks, and we're going to look at this again in the September-October series, looking at this passage. But Paul says, am I trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? And a lot of times, like, oh, well, they don't deserve it. And my friends would be like, why would you even talk to them? They don't deserve after what they've done to you. Why would you ever want to find out who they are? You don't deserve to reunite with them. The issue is you're not trying to please people. Paul says, if I were still trying to please people, if I'm pleasing people, I would not be a servant of Christ. He says you can't do both. You're either pleasing Christ or you're pleasing people. And as we've seen, all these passages keep coming back to you, not because they deserve it, not because they're worthy of it, not because they're perfect, but because you want to honor Christ, because you want to please Jesus. And so in those conversations, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that happened. But let's talk about how you can honor Jesus in this. And maybe you're the step, and we're not going to talk about that this morning. We did a series, it's not on the thing, we did a series called Sorry Not Sorry a couple years ago, talking about forgiveness. And maybe your willingness to please Jesus is the first step that leads to a total reconciliation on both parts. Maybe they apologize. Maybe they come back to you because of the step, because of the example that you set. So emphasize pleasing Jesus. So the third thing is then encourage them to honor their parents. Encourage honoring parents. Don't be like, yeah, that was dumb. They're such losers. I can't believe they said that. Man, if I was your parent, I would never have said that. And I'll just say, you know, we're coming alongside of children. So this is where it gets dangerous with your peers, because your peers are not at that same level as your parents in terms of experience, in terms of age. So, like, don't ask your peers for parenting advice. Like, I'm talking, like, about your own parents. You know what I'm saying? So, like, as a student, don't be like, hey, my mom did this thing. And you're like, oh, yeah, if I was your mom. Now, you have no idea what it's like to be her mom. You've never even been a mom. So stop talking, okay? They're not necessarily the best resource. What we want to do is encourage honoring parents. And so everything we need to be doing is pointing to, okay, yeah, maybe we don't even agree with what they said. Maybe what they said was wrong. Maybe what they said was not just wrong, but sinfully wrong, like not clearly wrong. You can still honor your parents in that, no matter your age. You can still honor them. And maybe that's by what you say. Maybe that's your speech. Maybe that's your conduct. Maybe that's your love. Maybe that's your faith. Maybe that's your purity. But there's something in there saying, you know what? Thank you for sharing this. I love you. I appreciate your insight. What you're asking me to do, and maybe they don't know Jesus, what you're asking me to do is would go against where I stand on Jesus. So respectfully, I'm not going to obey you. And at this point, I'm talking to older people. Like, I don't want that this week. Well, my 13-year-old came to me and said, respectfully, I am not going to clean my room. That's not what we're talking about here. But we looked at this passage last week. We looked at it from the flip side. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus replied, he's talking to the Pharisees, and they've made all these man-made rules. And he says, why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commandments of God? For instance, God says, honor your father and mother. And we looked at that in Deuteronomy 5 and Exodus chapter 20. It's a repeat of the same thing. And he says, and anyone who speaks disrespectfully of, I didn't fix it again, of father or mother must be put to death. I messed it up last week in this slide. But you say, it's all right for you to say to your parents, sorry, I can't help you, for I have vowed to give to God what I was given to you. And in this way, you say that they don't need to honor their parents. And so you cancel the word of God for the sake of your own tradition. The Pharisees were setting up systems so they didn't actually have to honor their parents. And like I said earlier, they found nice little loopholes to kind of fudge the word of God so that it fits their own desires. And in the process, didn't honor their parents. And we just need to be careful as we are helping to build that bridge, that if we say things that help, that encourage dishonoring parents, then we're not building the bridge, we're actually tearing it down. And so we need to use our words, use the whatever we've got behind us in that conversation to say, how can we honor your parents in this? How can you honor your parents in this? And maybe it's something as simple as, you know what? Let it out. Let me hear it all. Okay, now don't say that to them. And so this idea of honoring is so important. We definitely don't want to intentionally dishonor parents. We don't want to say something like, well, that's dumb. They're stupid. They don't know what they're talking about. Yeah, you know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that happened. How can I help you? And then, of course, we want to be careful we don't unintentionally dishonor parents. And I'm not sure what that looks like. Sometimes it is hearing, you know, again, if we're talking kind of the younger crowd, if there's a student that's upset and you're the listening ear, be very careful that you're not listening to something that really should be addressed to their parents. You know what? I hear what you're saying, but you need to go talk to your dad about this. You guys need to have this conversation. Because in listening to it, you might unintentionally dishonor their parents. And so we never want to intentionally or unintentionally direct a child away, whether they're a child of 7 years old, a child of 17, or a child of 70. Yeah, mathematically that would work. A child of 70 to dishonor their parents. So enter the hurting families, emphasize pleasing Jesus, encourage honoring parents, and then finally enable building bridges. And this passage in Hebrews, in our creative team meeting when we were discussing this series a few months ago, I think it was back in March, this passage came up a lot. Because I think this is where the crux, especially if we're talking more about adult children and their parents, that the crux of this passage comes back to this. And in Hebrews chapter 12, the writer of Hebrews says, and we'll just hang out on this slide for a while, actually. He says, work at living at peace with everyone, and work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Look after each other. So each of the things, work, look after each other. So there's some emphasis on us as the church for the sake of other people, so that none of you fails to receive the gift of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. And this idea of a bitter root, definitely that was a theme that kept coming up as we were talking about this entire week in our creative team meeting. It's like, because I think a lot of times there is this bitterness. And as the writer of Hebrews words it, it's a poisonous root of bitterness that grows up. And I'm the kind of guy that I treat our lawn multiple times throughout the year because I don't want weeds to grow. And I want the lawn to be good, and I want it to look good, and this drought was so fantastic for my lawn. But one of the things I'll do, I've been known to do, and this is because I'm a good dad. Actually, this is partially true. We have a little pool in our backyard, and if you have clover in your yard, clover attracts bees. And I love bees, and I'm not killing bees, but they also sting little feet that are getting in and out of the pool. And so one of the things I decided to do a couple years ago was get rid of the clover in our yard. No more weeds, no clover growing up. And now at this point, I've kind of gotten my handle on it, but you might look out of the window and see me doing this. And because if I see a little piece of clover, I will go and I will weave it, because it grows all under the grass. I'll weave it out and then pull it out so that it doesn't spread, because it just takes that one spot to spread and spread and spread and spread and spread, and then everybody's feet are getting stung by the bees. And so I will do that. And that's what this issue is with bitterness, is that it doesn't start as like bump. You know, it's not like a giant, using the grass metaphor, it's not like turf that's just dropped down. Sod that's dropped down. It starts as a little thing. And there's this little bitterness. I wish they'd done that differently. I wish that was different. And then that bitterness starts to grow. And then it grows over time. And then you've got, 20 years later, and you haven't even talked to your parents in 5 years. Why? Because this bitterness grew up. And so the writer of Hebrews says, look after each other. And do what you can to keep that bitterness from growing up. And as students, if you're at home still, like even now, be aware. What are the things? And maybe have that conversation. You know, when I had that 16th birthday party, it really bothered me that you didn't care to finish the kitchen that week. Instead, it took the next 2 years to do it. But, and I can assure you, I think I've got pretty fantastic kids, and I'm sure you all feel that way about your own. But they're all going to have plenty to talk to their therapists about. Like, there are so many things that you did wrong. And I just kind of want to give you that perspective now, especially if you're a parent and you're older. Before you start looking at your parents about all the things that they did wrong, just remember how many things are your kids going to say about you on the couch. And maybe you just cut them a break. And maybe you say, okay, you know what? I'm starting to feel this is a little issue. What can we do to keep that root from growing into full-fledged bitterness? And the writer of Hebrews here says it's our job to do that for one another. Hey, I want to come alongside. I want to help build a bridge to your parents, and I want to do what it takes. It sounds like you're a little bit bitter about this issue. You're really upset about that one thing that happened or that repeated pattern that happened. What can we do to get rid of that? What can we do to pull it out by the root so that it's not getting in the way of your relationship? And then over in Matthew, one of the Beatitudes, and we did a series called Blessed about the Beatitudes a couple years ago, Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. This idea of building bridges, of making peace, like the word blessed, and we talk about in the series, makarios, means God is active and present in your life. If you are trying to make peace between people, God is working in you. And so again, all this comes back to how can we please Christ? How can we please Jesus? How can we honor God? Well, by doing all these things in our relationships with our parents. And then if we're MC3, about helping the children that we know, whether those children are, again, whether they're 6 or whether they're 60 or whether they're 46, what can we do to help bridge that gap to the parents? We enter the families. We get involved in the mess. We emphasize pleasing Jesus. It's not about whether they deserve it. We encourage honoring the parents. So we're going to do everything we can to point them to giving parents the honor that they're due. And we're going to do everything we can to build bridges because we want to get rid of that bitter root so that that relationship is restored and is brought back to wholeness. So that's what God has called us to do, is to build that bridge to these families as a church, to come alongside all the children and help them grow in their relationship to their fathers, not just on Father's Day, but also to their mothers, so that we can become who God wants us to be, so that we can honor and please Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the challenge. There's certainly so much challenge in here, and there's so many emotions and feelings of injustice and hurt and pain, and those are real. Those are legit, and the parents are not perfect, and as parents today, those of us that are here listening are not perfect either. And I just pray that we would look at ourselves first and say, how can we be an example? How can we honor and please Jesus in everything that we do and rebuild that relationship or continue to build that relationship as we honor the parents that you have placed in our lives? And maybe those parents are biological. Maybe those are adopted. Maybe they're foster. Maybe there's a family member that's been that surrogate parent for us. Help us to honor them in what we do, not because they deserve it, not because they're perfect, but because we want to please you. Help us to do that, not just in our own lives, but also to come alongside those around us and help them to weed out, to pull out that bitter root so that we can help build bridges between them and their parents. Thank you for the bridge that your son built for us between us and our Heavenly Father so that we can be with him for eternity through Jesus' death on the cross, through his sacrifice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.